When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions@thedeependesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
Wes McDowell in Chicago.
Mikhail Morrison in Seattle.
Nick Longo in Los Angeles.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody.
Hey, guys.
I don't know if this is going to drop on a Friday, but it's Friday for us, and that's all we care about right now. So,
pretty much so, right?
Exactly.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's been one of those weeks, you know? Like, I'm just happy to unplug and weekend all weekend.
Good for you. Yeah, this is. I think the last two weekends have been work-filled. So this one, I'm getting everything out. Man, yeah. Nothing happening this weekend but fun. So
good.
How's everything else going with you guys? Good?
It's good. I saw a pretty terrible show last night.
What's that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say terrible. We had a good time. We went to go see the world premiere before Broadway of Pretty Woman the musical. Here in Chicago.
What? I'm surprised it wasn't good.
I didn't know.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I have thoughts. I have thoughts about it. And I was interested in seeing it. It's, like I said, we had a good time, but it was, the songs were pretty terrible.
Assuming the songs are not, are they completely new?
Yeah.
They're
not singing the soundtrack. They're not singing Must Have Been Love, But It's Over Now. That soundtrack of the movie is one of those songs my mom would clean the house with that soundtrack on repeat. I grew up on that soundtrack. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. My mom was Journey's Greatest Hits.
See, I would take that as an improvement over the Pretty Woman soundtrack. So.
Oh, that's too bad. Great. It was no Romeo and Michelle. It was not.
Well, actually, it was very on par with Romeo and Michelle in that we had a good time at Romeo and Michelle. It was in no way ready for Broadway. And it's as evidenced by the fact that it's not on Broadway.
Not Broadway.
Except this one actually has dates for Broadway, in a few months. They've got some work to do. But anyway, this is not a Broadway podcast.
Is it the first time they're doing this?
Yeah.
Of that movie? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's the way it goes. You have an out-of-town, you work out the kinks, but they've got a lot to work. Yeah. I mean, they literally have the songs are a problem.
Oh, boy.
So anyway.
Oh, boy.
Got it.
Yeah.
That is the one movie for me where I know every single line. Every single line.
Oh, really?
They did most of the hits. They didn't do the $50, Grandpa, for $75, the wife can wash.
Dang.
I was hoping for that, yeah. Hoping for that, but they did not come. But anyway, you did not come here today to listen to our podcast.
No, it's true.
Because I didn't hear about Broadway. So we're going to move on. We're going to talk about design. And we're going to talk about a hot topic in...
Ooh, it's very hot.
Yeah. Not
so
the retail
hot.
Store that sells... Nightmare Before Christmas gear. No, we're talking about the hot topic of plagiarism in design. But before we get there, we're going to talk a little Skillshare, which kind of rhymes. So,
no plagiarism going on over there.
Exactly. No, but Skillshare is amazing. I've learned so much from them. I think the three of us can safely say we've picked up some skills over at the Skillshare. So basically what it is, whenever you're trying to learn something new, which I hope we all are, that's the only way to really, succeed as a designer. You can't just stop learning because you're done with school. So a new kind of thing breaks out. You need to learn a new social media technique or whatever, they have everything. They literally have, they're an online learning platform with over 18,000 classes. in graphic design, logo design, illustration, and more. So they've got it all. You can take classes in Photoshop, animation, typography, anything that you need to further your skill set as a designer and as a creative business person. So they've got all those cool classes in. So just looking right now under the freelance section, so they've got this all broken out into sections. So you've got design, you've got photography, all that stuff. So under freelance, there's one called Survive Your Dry Spell, 1,000 Freelance Secrets. It's a lot of secrets in one video series. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah. And there's another cool one called How to Communicate with Clients, Building Relationships That Last. So, and this is just like a couple of them. Yeah. There's so many in this category.
I watched a really great one on restaurant branding as well, which I was really surprised to find that it was there. It's so cool. There's always something, whatever it is that you're looking for, I have a feeling you're going to find something there because they've definitely expanded their library.
They've got everything. So, I've used it. You guys have used it. So many people have used it and learned great skills. So join the millions of students that are already learning on Skillshare today with, we've worked out a special offer just for our listeners. You can get 2 months of Skillshare for just 99 cents. That is under $5. In fact, that's under $1.
Now that you think about it. Last time I checked, 99 cents.
You need to go
cents,
to Skillshare for math.
Math?
Math skills. So that's right. Skillshare is offering our listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 18,000 classes for just 99 cents. So to sign up, go to skillshare.com/graphic. Again, go to skillshare.com/graphic. To start your 2 months now, that's skillshare.com/graphic. All right. Three times the charm. So on to plagiarism. So this is one of those topics that, we're living in an era right now with social media where everything you publish online is kind of available. So that's why there's so many articles that come out about, this.
And searchable. Searchable is like that's the keyword.
Right? Which is good and bad. It allows us to kind of do our due diligence, but it also can unearth all these things that were previously unavailable to us. So, so basically every day there's like a new article about a new corporate rebrand or some big logo where they're basically accusing them of ripping somebody's work off. So, and it's hard because – it's one of those things that how many ideas are out there? How many unique ideas are really out there?
We always hear that there's nothing new, right? It's just a new combination of things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of true. It's kind of true because also too, we don't want to go past that certain line of like when design doesn't really work or communicate. So we're playing in a pretty small field when you think about what is doable and what's not. And so of course it's going to be reminiscent of something else out there. Everything is. I mean, the font you chose for the last project you work on probably came from some inspiration too, right?
Yeah. And it came from the font designer in some crazy scheme to make money. They actually, produced more than one of them. So,
which is quite, I'm glad we brought that up too, because I found a great topic we can talk when we get into it, but about fonts being used in a way where they shouldn't be. And then the plagiarism of that. So it's interesting that we're pulling it from somebody else's design. It stemmed from something original. So it's such a good topic. I'm glad we're talking about it in a full episode.
Giving it room to breathe. So it's one of those things that we're always looking for inspiration as designers. Like I don't ever start a project without going and just pulling a bunch of stuff from a bunch of different places. Just to kind of get my brain going.
And that's normal. But how far that's is encouraged too far? In school. That's totally
100%.
Yeah.
But like you said earlier, now is different. So maybe we have to shift how we get inspiration because it is so apparent. Like we can do it at the drop of a dime anywhere on our phones, and we can look up inspiration. We can find things that are almost so in line with what we're doing that we're almost by nature, you kind of copy in a way, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's why we're talking about it. It's happening more and more, but it's also because of the availability and the searchability of all this content.
Yeah. So let's go ahead
this more.
Yeah. So let's talk about one recent example. Yeah. Nick, behind the scenes, he shared a link with us of just a really great example of this. One that we will reserve our judgment. We'll tell you guys in a minute what we think. Mm-hmm. But so basically, it's a series of Han Solo movie posters that came out from Disney.
Yeah.
And Nick, you read more of that article. Do you want to kind of give the background on that story?
Yeah, I remember even seeing them come out, and I think somebody posted them online. And of course, they're this beautiful retro kind of aged and distressed background with huge typography, and the picture is kind of masked in the photography, the typography.
Yeah.
And they came out, and then one day later, somebody was like, look a lot like these Jazz Collection album art from Sony, which is a very close competitor of them. And all of a sudden, people kind of started to talk about what's going on here. Now, we were sharing an image that showed maybe just one version of the Han Solo and one version, which, if you look at one-on-one, you kind of go, okay, I could see some influence there.
Yeah.
But when you look at the entire series.
I was willing to give it to them. Just seeing the one, yeah.
When you see the entire series, they copied picture for picture, color palette, cropping, the illustration style, the textured of the distressed, you know, and I'm sure most of our listeners have seen one or two of them. If not, just look up the Han Solo posters and you'll see how incredibly they are 100% inspired. There's no coincidence there. Yeah. That can't be coincidence.
Well, you know,
I think that's where we draw the line.
And you know why I definitely know it's not a coincidence is because that style broke with such tradition going with that different style. Star Wars posters have always been by, who's that?
The famous guy.
Yeah. I'll look him up or someone look him up.
Yeah.
But yeah. He did all the movie posters, painted them in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. He did all of them. And then this is a distinct break in that.
Yep.
And
I know what they're trying, and they got to change, and now they're under Disney, and the Lucasfilm world was a much smaller pool of creatives that I think really are inspired by originality. They've always been. They've been copied, right?
Yeah.
For many years. And now to be under, I think, a bigger entity like Disney, the chances of something like this happening are probably a lot more. Some designers caught it, did it.
Yeah.
And the biggest issue was not only was that it was released, but that Disney's legal didn't catch this. How do you catch this? Oh, it's not
Disney's lawyers are only worried about suing others. They're never worried about getting sued.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly.
It only goes one way. But anyway, that artist's name was Drew Struzan, who did all the and side note, there was a really great Netflix documentary about him. I don't know if it's still on.
Oh wow. It's not is that part of Abstract or no, that's
this
something
was
different.
Something else.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that you got artists that are probably working under pressure, right? And trying to get something out quickly. They put when the Han Solo premiere came, I can't remember when they launched that teaser. Everybody freaked out. So days later, here come these posters. So I wonder if it was just this quick push to get something out there and it wasn't caught that this was such a blatant copy. I can't imagine what they must be feeling at this point, because how do you answer that?
Yeah. Well, not that this makes any difference. It's still plagiarism is plagiarism, but are these the final one sheets that are actually for theaters, or is this kind of a
version? That's a good question. Or were they just digital only, right? You're right.
Yeah.
How did they release them? I don't know. I think maybe they can't go forward with them anymore, even if they've printed some.
No.
I can't imagine.
I saw a poster at my local theater that definitely was not that. It was definitely much
more. Was it just Solo?
Yeah.
It could have just been a teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big one.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it puts the spotlight
on
this.
That one's fairly huge.
Yeah,
that one is almost big enough to be embarrassed for the industry as a whole.
Good, you're right.
Mikkel is just getting out at this point. She's like, I've had enough. And another example of this that we think is kind of a little more frivolous is that
Which
the
one?
New Formula One logo that They basically are accusing of being ripped off from a pantyhose box. Because
which is compression. What is this?
Like Spanx or something?
Oh yeah, they're like they're compression like stockings.
Yeah, they're Spanx
to minimize swelling. Yeah,
is that what Spanx are, Mikhail?
Yeah, isn't
compression
isn't that,
stockings?
Yeah, because those are those.
It's a technology or tech wise way of saying Spanx.
That's a piece of apparel that I absolutely wear daily. So the other thing about this packaging that's really funny, you know how it's got the parent brand 3M up above, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I looked at this and just in seconds thought it was a large pail of paint. It does not look feminine by any means.
Yeah.
This is so
weird. I don't
think
it's meant to be. It's more of a health.
They're branching out to a new market, Mikhail. They're going out to the Formula One crowd.
This is that athletic wear that you see on the courts and stuff.
And also for circulation and stuff.
Yeah.
It's that compression stuff. So there's
people
that,
flying
and you know, that kind of stuff.
A paint brand. It's weird to me. It's so weird.
You're right. I think it falls more under the 3M branding guidelines than anything else.
Yeah.
For those of you who have seen this, you know, the F1 comes out and it's this, it looks like a racetrack, two parallel lines that have been bent. And then they added the one with two lines or one line at the end. And it's super italic and it's super stretched. And then, so that comes out. It becomes this, like, everyone's talking about the new Formula One logo, how beautiful it is and cool. But then they come out with this 3M one and say, hey, wait a minute, we have something very similar. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like this one's a complete coincidence. This is not a copy. It's two lines that are bent. Like, I'm sure there's probably a ton of other undiscovered art that is very similar to this as well.
I trademarked two bent lines years ago. They all owe me money.
You're saying you don't feel this is intentional. Yeah.
This is coincidental.
Which is worth commenting about. That absolutely does happen. I can't tell you, I've had a number of times with posts, even to social media, somebody call out, oh, have you seen this logo? It looks really similar. And I had no idea. No idea.
Yeah.
That absolutely happens.
And now I could see this F1 logo being designed without seeing that other logo.
Yeah.
I don't think there's, and when we go back to that Star Wars poster, I don't, that to me is completely inspired. Mm-hmm. Like you have to say it coincidentally, that could not have been done. The chances would have been so rare.
Yeah.
But this one to me, there's a lot of differences, but also too, it's very simple. And I think, you know, did any of you guys see the new House logo? You know, House is that app that you can buy
furniture
and stuff with.
I've not seen the logo.
Okay, so the new one comes out and it's done by Pentagram and it's done by the big wigs that, you know, cost $100,000 just to get through the door. But it is the most simple, like unspecific logo I've ever seen. So the chances of that being someone coming out now and saying, hey, we did a house that looks like an H before.
Yeah.
So as we get more simpler with these things and more minimal, I think the chances of an F1 like this being compared to something are much higher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we're stripping it down to just two lines, well, guess what? It's going to be out there somewhere.
True. And I guarantee you if I were to do a search on like Shutterstock right now for F logo, I guarantee something very similar to that would exist almost everywhere online.
Of course.
Yeah.
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 You know, and I think
which
this is
which,
more.
Which conveys that it's available for free and out there if anybody wants it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not free, really, if it's on Shutterstock.
Well, I don't mean that in a literal sense.
Yeah.
It is, if I don't mean that in a literal sense.
Yeah.
If you want.
You mean just free to see.
Free to see, just like any other inspiration means in social media, like you pointed out. But then if you want to pay for this, there's actually a lot of vector artwork out there that doesn't even have any disclaimers for licensing at all.
I know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a huge gray area. Like, you know, I wouldn't even know where to go with that. Like, it's hard to get a trademark and all that. But before we go further, let's talk about, you know, the steps you can take as a designer to kind of minimize your chances of doing this, you know, and it's, and it's involved. It's not, you know, it's pretty time intensive. So, you know, the first step I would say is when you're gathering all your inspiration, be very careful, to not take too much inspiration from any one design.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be inspired, whatever you do should be inspired from several multiple sources. And I think that
How they interact and how they combine.
Yeah.
Right. So you're right. You're not focusing on that one.
Right. Cause I think when you go way too far with one, now you're just begging for trouble. So
Yeah.
I would say that's the first. Interesting. Yeah. And then, and then what I would say, it's hard to do this before you get going, cause you can't just have a mental stockpile of every logo that's ever been designed. That's not realistic. So what I would do is once you've designed all your logos from various inspiration points, multiple points, once the main contenders are decided on, either I would say by you before you decide to show your client. And I guess we're talking logos here just for this example, but this applies to everything.
It stems to everything.
For sure. So, for sure.
But for logos, it really, it's a kind of a pure instance of this. So what I would do is once you've got the ones picked out, go on like a logo pond or logo lounge and type in some keywords that describe these logos and see what comes up just to see like, because those are pretty
like well reverse
tagged and keyworded out.
And
just make sure they're not too, you know, too emblematic of what's already
similar.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to check yourself in case the coincidence happens, right? Because it's like, let's say you take it and you don't even look at inspiration and you come up with some great options to present. Doing what you just said will eliminate the chances of that happening if by chance you've done something very similar that's out there.
Yeah. And like if it's like a typographic logo, like a lot of times it'll be like, you know, if it's like Hewlett Packard, like an HP logo, I would type into Google HP logo or
you're right,
you know, PP logo for Pied Piper and just see like what, I've been re-binging that show right now.
It's coming back soon, right? All right, cool.
But yeah, so I would do that. And just like, if it's one of those things just to see, because it'll come back with a million versions of that. Or like even if it's just an H logo, just type in H logo, see what's there. And then you may have some extra work to do. If you find something that's too similar, you may have to rework it a little bit.
That is true.
Yeah. And this third step is a little crazy because it's not the easiest thing to do. I tried before we got on today. Use a trademark database online
that's
to double check.
One,
those are not the easiest to use. So,
legal departments know how to use those. We don't.
Yeah,
I've tried too, and I know I have a client doing that right now with the logo we designed, and so they sent it to their legal team, and I'm like, go for it. It was perfect timing too with knowing we were going to talk about this, that I was like, I'm going to feel a lot better with this client knowing that there's nothing else out there like it.
Right.
Cause I, it's not even initials in a way, it's more of a mark and it reflects everything we've built when it came to the discovery. So I just want to make sure. And I felt great. I was like, let's do it. I hope nothing comes back. Cause I don't, that we don't know how to do that stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Gosh, I've been through that process a few times.
We're artists.
There are always hurdles, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
just like names of company and everything
else. Each law firm group has different specifications that they require. It's interesting.
Or like what is a red flag, right? Like they're all different. Yeah. Which is, I get it, because it's subjective.
Which is ironic because every law firm's website or logo looks exactly the same.
Totally right. I know. Yeah. Totally right.
But yeah, those database websites are like, I mean, that's the most Soviet web design or like usability
like
I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like if the government designed Google, that's what we'd have. Just like very utilitarian, very hard to use.
It feels very. Was it called DOS? Is that the old Windows version?
Yeah.
Windows DOS, like that's DOS awesome. Versions.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like War Games. Like, yeah. It's not fun websites to kind of try to figure out.
Yeah. It looks like the world's first website, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So then what I would say in the end, if you end up finding something that you think is similar, there's just ask yourself, is the similarity substantial enough to be a problem? So,
yeah,
you know what I mean by that is if your logo has a fox in it, and of course there's going to be a bunch of other logos with a fox in it, you have to ask yourself, okay, how similar is this? You got to look at colors. You got to look at line width, overall style. Like, you'll know it when you see it. You'll know if it's too similar. And if you have any doubt, get a few eyeballs on it. Ask people.
I see a lot of people, certain people I follow on Twitter will post an option of what they're working on and say, hey, does anyone know of something that looks familiar or similar to this? Yeah. Which there's a great test as well, because it might be something that's out of your wheelhouse or your bubble.
Yeah.
So it's good to put that out there and see, you know, which is kind of cool. I think that's a great way to think about it. Help each other out when it comes to our community, you know?
Yeah. Crowdsourcing for sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's
I know.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say too, you know what's funny, and I think we get to a point where we rush so fast because we got to get a job done, let's say, and we get right into it. And there's a big difference between going and sketching first and going straight into the computer first to do maybe I know we're talking most specifically about logos, but I find when you go right into the computer stuff, you might mimic an inspiration much quicker and closer because you're graphic and you're building things in Illustrator, right? Yeah. But if you go to a sketchbook and you just start there, I think you get a more organic thing right from the very beginning.
Yes.
And like I bought a bunch of these, like just the simplest little notebooks, and keep one in every bag and keep one at the desk just so I'm doing that more.
Yeah.
And I'm finding I think you just get a better end result regardless of being close to anything.
Yeah.
And then it's coming more from your inspiration and not so much the visual stuff that you're catching.
Yeah.
Cause it's just too much.
The only problem with me going right to the sketch pad is then all my logos just look like stick people. So
it's like, well,
I need some help with the computer or a 3D cube.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With a cool drop shadow, right? Yeah. It's like, I can do drop shadows.
Yeah.
But you know, I've seen what some of the top guys have been sharing on, even on like their Skillshares and whatever. And you see, sketching is only for you, really. It's not for anybody else. So even if you can't do it, I'm not a good sketcher in any way. Specifically, shapes and let's say you're trying to do something that has maybe the human silhouette or some kind of version in there. I suck at it, but at least it's a way of getting the idea out, and then you go to digital and you're much more original, I think, than if you were to go straight to digital.
Right.
Because we build so similarly that way.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
You know, it's worth a shot.
It comes natural. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point.
You know?
Okay.
So I try to stress that with the students too, because I can see them going right into vector and they're doing something that they saw almost, you know, point for point on one of their inspiration pieces.
Yeah.
So sketch first, man. I think that keeps us much more original, as everybody is like doing the same look and feel.
Yeah.
I think look and feel is a thing to even talk about in plagiarism, right? Does it remind you of something, not so much point for point?
Yeah, but but then I don't think we can call that plagiarism though. Like, I think that's too.
Yeah.
You'd never win in court with that. Like, I feel like it's like a similar,
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know a few people that go right down that route of let's go in that vibe.
Yeah.
Because of the inspiration. But it doesn't fit the client you're working for. So like,
right.
Like, I think a lot of it, we always say design for the client and the client's customer. That's 100% goal number one. So if you're doing that and you're sketching and doing your inspiration, hopefully with all these checkpoints, you're making yourself a little safer for this happening by coincidence, right?
Sure. Yeah. There's
But if you rip something off, you rip something off. Oh, hold on for a second.
Hmm?
That was weird.
Oh,
it's the damn the text thing coming through. on the phone, on the computer.
Oh, man. I somehow was able to disable that. I don't know how I did it, but I'm glad I was able to work it out.
Hey, if you do it on the watch, it does it on everything else, right?
Yeah.
Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Little plug for the watch.
But so that's how you can kind of do your homework and make it a little less likely that you're going to rip someone else off. What do you do, though, if you feel like you've been ripped off? You know, we've... Have you guys been through that?
Ooh.
I have not.
I had something that was very close. I had something that was very close, but it was just posted by someone who was... I don't think it ever made it. It was more of a concept.
Okay, and so you followed it enough to know that it wasn't...
Someone sent it to me and said, this looks awfully a lot like something you did.
Okay.
And so... And I reached out and I had a bit of a good conversation with them and everything was fine. It wasn't anything used for their client.
Yeah.
It was just posted.
Okay.
But I know that feeling because I think we've, you know, I could say up until a few years ago, there were a few times where I was getting heavily influenced by other stuff. And if someone called me out on it, I'd have to say, yeah, I think I did. You know, it's like sometimes you're pressed for time and you think it works well. So that was the only time it came close to anything else. I don't know what else I would have done if it got anything higher. I think that's when you get your client involved, let's say. You know, if it's something you've already done and published.
Sure.
Yeah, because it'll upset them enough to file a claim of some kind. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it happen to me where it's only the colors that were swapped. The design was exactly the same.
Really? What did you do?
And
how'd you handle that?
I'm referring to the emblem of the lockup, not, you know, of course the
typography. It was a logo?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what were the circumstances? What happened? How'd you deal with it?
It wound up that my client did not end up selecting the one concept that I shared and published that somebody took. So I couldn't fight. Because it was just a concept that was rendered and not selected for final design. But it was several months later that I saw it. So,
yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, I don't think that might be an interesting sub-discussion topic is there's nothing worth chasing at that point. Do you agree?
Yeah.
I left it alone.
Because then it's a matter of personal...
It's all conceptual.
If you're fine, with it, that it didn't get out there and it didn't personally affect you, most of us could probably move on. But I think the only reason to continue it would be if you personally felt like robbed.
Yeah,
I think.
Oh, I would definitely send an email just to like let you know that I know kind of email. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but, that's it should be done.
Yeah,
and I think anybody in that situation should do that.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I'm not aware of anyone ripping off anything design wise for me. I mean, maybe they have, but I don't. They could be anywhere. Who knows? But what I have found, is this is more of a text based thing. So basically, on my one version of my website, I was doing an audit just to make sure there's no duplicate content, and there I found no less than about 20 websites. They were stealing my verbiage on my website from front to back, like entire paragraphs of text, which
that's exactly along the right lines of this conversation.
Well, yeah, except that's even worse because that's not even we're not inspired by
you
me.
You didn't even try.
You copied and pasted my exact verbiage.
Did you do anything? Did you?
Yes. I emailed them and told them, take it down today. And I wasn't even nice about it because I don't think that's a different story than
line.
Yeah. Well, I said if you don't because there's laws like your hosting company if you have violated a copyright or a trademark and you know your web host is under obligation to remove your site if it's not so I tell them like your site will be taken down if you don't get rid of it not because I was upset necessarily, but it's because there's such thing as duplicate content in Google's eyes where if you have the same written content as other sites, Google may show their site above mine in a search.
Got it.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
And you did the work and you crafted that to your,
right,
you know, your message. And sometimes if anything, that even feels worse, you know, it's like, yeah, that's a lot that's, if it was front to back like that,
yeah,
copied, what a ripoff.
Well, and I think a few of them actually kind of took more than the copy. I think some of them took, mm-hmm, some of the images, not portfolio images, but like just the backgrounds of the site. I'm trying to remember that, but it was definitely text. I definitely remember that. Yeah. But
what a trip.
Yeah. So there's a few things to keep in mind. So Mikkel, kind of, you just alluded to this a bit ago. So when you feel like you've been ripped off, there's a few things you have to weigh it against. So if you don't have, the way the law looks at it, you can have an actual copyright claim if your design has been used and seen in the public eye for 7 years. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what the law goes
established by. Established for a 7-year term. I thought that was kind of long. Do you?
Yeah, I do too. I feel like if it's been
I wonder, is that based off of like years ago? Like, it would almost have to be changed and reevaluated now.
Yeah.
I think that should be 7 days.
Yeah. I think that refers to if you never went through the steps of getting a trademark. Like if you just published it and it was out there. It's kind of like common law marriage. Like you're not really married, but you're living, shacking up for 10 years, you're married.
Yeah, okay.
Gotcha. You know, okay.
It's that kind of thing. So you're gonna have a really hard time in your case, Mikkel, where it's just kind of in your portfolio, not really seen. Even if you published it one time somewhere online, you know, if it's not really out there attached, mm-hmm, to a brand, it's hard to prove that intent. So
I guess in that situation, it just means that it's yours and you own it. It's not admitting that the other person copied it. It's just saying you were there first and you win,
mm-hmm,
if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah. I think the point here is just it's very hard to win something like, mm-hmm, this. So, and I think it's got to be pretty expensive to litigate and
I can't imagine to go
after it. So, I mean, my advice for anyone listening who feels like they might be ripped off, like, I don't know if you can't do anything about it, you may just want to write an email to them and let them know know. And
well, there's calling them out.
Take them down.
The community has really backed anybody who has put stuff out there like that.
Yeah.
Look at the attacks on like H&M. They've been almost nonstop just taking, you know, intellectual property and taking graphics and point by point putting it on their own stuff and not giving artists credit.
Oh, yeah, because they like kind of ripped off T-shirt designs, right?
Yep, exactly. Okay. Old Navy's done it. Kohl's has done it.
Right.
And a lot of times it comes from these guys who are some of the number one just folks out there doing stuff on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
And what's happening is some small companies making it, printing it, selling it. Kohl's buys it and distributes it, but they don't do the check of the creativity, the plagiarism.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it goes to the masses, because if you're going in Kohl's, you're making millions of those shirts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So someone's going to find it and then it's called out. And so it's interesting to see how many people are putting this out there and saying, hey, on Twitter and whatever. And even if they aren't a big person or have a huge following, others have slowly been getting on board with them and saying, hey, let's rise us to the top and call this company out. Because they are coming out and saying, we didn't know, we're apologizing, and they're taking it off shelves immediately. So action can happen. I think even regardless of your status and who you are, as long as we kind of understand that and the crowd gets behind you.
Yeah.
You know?
And I wonder how good those reverse image searches can be in terms of fighting this.
If
Disney were to just take those posters and run them through that, I wonder if it would have come back with the other.
Yeah.
Poster.
That's a good point. I think it has. That I would even almost love to try that and see if it works, because we did that just the other day. Someone
listening,
shot.
Do it and tweet us about it.
Yeah.
Hashtag DGDC. Let us know if it came back with it.
Well, now it might be a little bit. The results might come up with it because there's so many comparisons on different websites.
That's true.
Of the two, but you never know. We tried to reverse it, and we found, because we were using an image that we actually wanted to end up buying. It came through on an inspiration shot, and we were like, hey, why recreate this? Let's find the artist and find it. couldn't find, we found it, but it was one of those wallpaper things that has been used on all of these different things. And there was no credit to the artist in any way.
Really?
So, but we were, but we found it. Yeah, but we're going to recreate it. We found it, but without ownership, not with no ownership. It was, so that was a red flag right there that it obviously can't be used and we can't find permission to use it. Mm. So we're going to be inspired by it and hopefully recreate something worthy, you know?
Yeah.
So it was more of like a background illustration, like texture. But again, I wouldn't want to just say we can use it because it was able to be found reverse engineered on the Google search, which is
the paper trail kind of good by along.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're going to get you. Yeah. All right, cool. So I've just got a few, I want to ask you guys a few things, like just to kind of gauge where we're at opinion wise. So what about, what if you saw a color palette you liked on a website and you just ripped off the color palette? I won't say ripped off because I don't want to color the, but like if you liked a color combination, what are your thoughts? Is that plagiarism to take that color combination? What do we think?
I don't think so. I think it's, again, to be inspired by it is one thing. Mm-hmm. If I've ever done that, I've always tweaked it to mesh along the lines of what we've established as maybe the goal. So I'll be inspired by them, but I don't think, I've never done it like color for color.
Okay.
I don't know.
I but have you're done right.
It's
that.
Like such a, I have it's done such that. A good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't say it's plagiarism because you're taking one element.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with this.
Yeah.
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 Like I definitely have found like several color combinations in my life where it's on a site or something. It's like this is such a strong color combination. Yeah. I'm going to use it. And it doesn't end up looking the same because it's applied to a different
design. The design is different.
Design. I don't like
Right.
Yeah.
I know a few artists who have said they've come right out and say, yep, I've stolen palettes from these people, whatever. And what bothers me though, in a way, is there are some individuals out there that are just masters at picking and creating these incredible color palettes. Now, maybe they stole them from someone else. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think it's the same idea as like the copy. Like they put some time and effort into making those. Can we just take them as is and incorporate them into our designs? It's a great question. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So along the same lines, what about a typographic combination?
Yeah.
So two fonts on a website, like two typefaces that are together and they look really great together. What about just taking those two fonts and putting them on your site? Plagiarism or not?
Are you saying more display type font or more body?
Let's say there's a website that has
a
particular font for the headline and then a different font for body. And you like that combination.
Yeah, I can think of a scenario where on Creative Market, for example, I see that I can purchase a font family that I love and that it pairs nicely with what they have showcased.
Mm-hmm. They show some really good shit on there.
I don't know the secondary font utilized, but that is I try to search real hard for one that's similar.
Yeah,
I've definitely done that, and that's not a logo.
I agree with what you said.
That they're featuring. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a recommendation. Hey, look at this. This looks good, and I agree.
Mikkel, use this. Yeah. It's okay. What you said, totally. I would do in a second, in a heartbeat. But I think Wes, what you were saying too is like if two exact fonts being used because you like the way they look, and I guess it depends on the application of it. Like you said, Mikkel, if it was a logo lockup, I feel that's too. I should be more original.
That's different.
With that. And again, it has to follow the guidelines of what we've established this brand should be, not what I find together, even if it's a perfect example. But maybe on a web and in body copy and a nice – in some kind of a layout for a brochure or something printed, maybe. They're fonts that are truly created. They're not – it's not like you're taking raw art. It's a font available for you.
Yeah.
So – I'd be okay with it. Yeah. there's my short answer.
I can't say I've ever done that specifically. I may have, but I can't think of of having done that. But yeah, I wouldn't think that's plagiarism. I think it's,
but
again, it's taking an element, it's taking some, it's taking inspiration, and then how you apply that to your own design is up to you.
Yeah. I would say, though, to younger designers and students, to challenge yourself and don't, not that any of us have the, freedom
do
to
do as we say, not
as fonts.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We have seniority.
When I hear come on, totally. But when I hear a student say, "Oh my God, how do you learn font combinations? Like that's such a cool combination. I wish I can pick two together." So don't go straight into copying and using what you see out there. Yeah. Challenge yourself to know what two fonts work together. Where they have to vary. I think that's an art.
Yeah.
That we should know.
Absolutely. You know? Okay. Final question for you guys. So, how close will you ever let yourself come to that line of plagiarism? Like, can you think of an example of something that you've done that might be borderline? Like, maybe this is too close, but you don't think you've actually crossed the line. Do you have anything you can think of like
that's
that?
That's the hardest thing to define.
Yeah.
I think if you were to draw right in the middle of fully copying and zero inspiration, right? I'm trying to lead more towards the zero influence there. And if I go, I think it's hard to, I think we all have to individually come up with our own threshold there. But I'm trying to shoot more to that other side where there's no similarity to anything that it was, at least in my inspiration, in my research, you know?
Yeah.
And again, it's truly why I started doing all these little sketches, because it's like, I feel like I'm not going to get something close to what I saw if I'm sketching first, you know, for the logos particularly.
Yeah, that is true.
What do you think? How close will you get? And let's stick with logos, because I think they represent a company as such a whole.
Yeah.
And
sure.
You know?
Yeah, so for me, Mikkel, you go first.
No, it's okay. I think that, I mean, the only reason I've moved forward with a concept is because it's safe to me, but somebody might recognize that it's very similar to something that they're familiar with and argue differently. I don't know. I would hope not.
You could, yeah.
But yeah,
if
I'm running a business
here.
Running a licensed business here. I wouldn't want to mess that up.
That is true.
Same, exactly. And if someone brought it to your attention and you had no idea that it even existed, at least in your heart, you know, I'm sorry. It's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
So you're right. I think it's how you approach that if it ever came to you that it was very similar. But you know in your heart if you did or not.
Yeah, but like, you know, Wes has said a couple of times today, if something's brought to court, you can't win a case by saying, well, in my heart, this is what I believed was going, that's not going to do shit for you. So it's like, you know, from a technical standpoint, where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
What do you think, Wes? Where would you draw that line in the, like a logo design?
Yeah. So for me, this has come up in the show before where I think I've said this, like sometimes I will find something that I am very inspired by and I may start going down the road of coming close to it, but I never get there because something else always intervenes and I always find something else to do that changes it. Very much organically, I find. Like, it's not...
Yep.
Try as I might...
It's not forced. It's not forced.
Try as I might to rip people off. Yeah. It never seems to actually happen because there's always something else that'll kind of push it in another direction for me.
Yeah.
Which is good. And this is one of the reasons why I like doing websites so much, because there's so many elements.
Yes.
You can never really get too close. I mean, unless you're just literally like copying a website, it's very hard to get close to another website because there's so many elements on the page.
Yeah.
There's no focus of one element.
Right.
One mark.
Yeah. Which I think keeps me honest in a lot of ways.
There you go.
Yeah. So.
And I think I think what one thing I heard, and I was trying to find the quote before this episode, because I think it sums it up really well, but it's this idea that anything plagiarized or copied is never applauded, rewarded, or renowned. You know what I mean? It's like it's So think of it that way. It's like we've all been there. We've all been in that situation of being tempted, let's say, you know, to be like heavily influenced. Yeah. But there's a reason that one's being influenced, because of it breaking ground, because of it being original and being dead on with what was needed for that particular project. So if you don't want to be recognized, rewarded, and elevate your career, don't do it. You know what I mean? Because those are never celebrated.
Yeah,
the copies.
And just to
look at
to play devil's advocate with that, what I will say, this is where it gets a little tricky. I can't believe it didn't come up till now. But with
because
we've been talking a lot about logos, but with web design especially, it's hard to go too far in a creative direction. And I've talked on the show before about how you kind of don't want to do that. Like we talk about those designers' portfolio sites that are just so out of left field and crazy. Yes, they're incredibly unique, but now they're also very hard to use. And like with websites, there is a shorthand that has been established over years and years because certain UI principles work. So that's why it is hard doing what I do to kind of come up with a unique approach when you really have to stick with what's tried and true also. Yep. So that's where things can get tricky.
It's so much more targeted and narrowed down.
Because we have so many split tests available to us to see what the results were. And to deviate from that split test would be kind of stupid. Because we know that this works, this doesn't work. So, of course, you got to go with this thing that does work. And then how how do you kind of make it unique within that framework? So, gray areas all around for sure.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
man,
interesting,
good one.
Interesting conversation, guys. But we have a listener question to get to. But before we do, let's talk FreshBooks, baby. You know, like we've been talking FreshBooks, and if you're not yet a customer of FreshBooks, what are you thinking? You like sending invoices? You like designing invoices every time?
Having no record of them updating automatically in the cloud?
It's ridiculous.
Come on.
I'm ashamed of all of you. No, but FreshBooks, they make it easy. Like, you can just plagiarize all your invoices all day long. Make copies.
Because they're yours.
Exactly. Send the copies. So FreshBooks is amazing. You can upload your logo. They pull the brand colors. It sends very branded, professional-looking invoices in under, you know, just two clicks, 30 seconds. You can send it out, and you get paid within one day 60% of the time. Their mathematicians have figured that one out. So what else can you do with FreshBooks? They basically have a projects feature, which kind of makes it act like a, you know, it's kind of a
like
project.
Slack.
Yeah, like a project management feature. Like you can share files with your clients, contractors, if you have them. And all those conversations live in one place within the platform. They keep record of your receipts come tax time, which is amazing. So we love FreshBooks. We've been with them for so long now. And it is about time you got on board as well. So to that end, we've got a 30-day unrestricted free trial for you. So go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Once again, 30 free days. Go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and then enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. All right. So we asked for those audio questions, and boy, did we get them. We have a few to pick
from. Nice, we got a few.
Yeah, we do.
Good deal.
Yeah, so this week comes to us from Kim. So let's take a listen.
Hey guys, love the podcast. My name is Kim and I have a career question for you guys. So my background is in film and video, and I've spent the last 5 or 6 years working in different management and leadership positions in this industry. Most recently, I've been managing for the last 3.5 years now a pretty large creative team, mostly video producers, editors, and animators. But for the last year or so, I've been learning design and I've totally fell in love, and I'm really excited about making a career change. So my question for you is, how do I best position myself? Because I'm a newbie designer, but I do have a decent amount of experience managing in a related creative field. So right now I'm looking at taking a year off to do freelance design work and travel, partly to build my design skills. And I'm wondering what kind of jobs make sense for me to pursue when I'm freelancing like this, and also what type of position should I be pursuing when I get back to the traditional workforce? Thanks.
This is a great question. So basically, you come from a video background, you want to get into mm-hmm. the design world. So what advice can we give you here? My best advice would be dive in, embrace your video background. I think that there's such a demand right now for animated design, video bumpers, anything like that. I preach video all the time.
Motion graphics. That's the, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. There's so many different applications for this, you know. I would definitely niche into that because, you know, honestly, there's a lot of designers out there. But if you can niche and come up with something that you can draw on your past experience from to be ahead of the game, do that. That would be my best advice. What do you guys think?
It sounds like she got the taste of design and wants to kind of
she's been
flip
in the
everything
creative
and
industry
say,
altogether along most of
but
her.
Wants to go design yeah. and not so much account and managing. Sounds like she was managing a lot of these video folks,
yeah.
right? So she's going to take that time off, do this. And that's great that she's figured out like the game plan a little bit, like take the time off. Learn the design process,
and just
right?
Emotionally and
freelance
figured
and travel.
Out what she's passionate about. A lot of
that's
people
awesome.
Don't get
that's
there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Half the battle. You figure that part out.
Yeah.
So all I would say is that when you go back into this field, and let's say you're going into motion, let's say you're going into design, whatever it is, you're obviously probably not – you're going to be going in at a manager level. You're going to probably take a step down in that. But I would use the – I wrote a few things down. So she's already – she's learned how to deal with timelines, meetings – under pressure, she's representing creatives, which is a really tough thing. So use all the things that you have already in your management skills to say what better of a designer you'll be. Because designers coming in with not a lot of business background, you'll shine way above them. So maybe you won't get that manager job right off the bat. And it sounds like you don't want that. It sounds like you want to get right into designing. So
well, and this sounds,
use all those things.
Yeah, this sounds like what a perfect fit for just going right into starting up your own little boutique motion graphics studio.
Right.
You know, because if you've got that, because that's the thing that most designers are missing is that piece where they're great with the business and they're great with clients. Mm-hmm. If you have all that under your belt and you can design, there's going
to
be no
use
stopping.
Use that
you,
bread
so.
And butter to initiate. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I would never – I don't like to kind of push any young people who haven't even had the first job yet to go straight into freelance because of that one thing they're missing. They don't have the business side of working with people and meetings. And let's face it, I'm on email more than any other application all day long.
Right.
That's all we do. You know, it's you supplement it with the other stuff. So the fact that she's already there and you're right. So maybe in this time off and you're trying your own gig – before you start looking for a job, that could be the thing you really stick with. You might not even be looking for a job down the road. But if you do, just use all those benefits and those positives that you already have that someone else you'd be competing with does not have probably.
Yeah.
You know? And they might like the fact that you have some season and you're coming back to your roots and you want to do something more creative. You know?
Yeah.
It's a good win-win, I think, in a lot of ways.
And it's great because you found a niche. Like, and I mm-hmm. hope you use that because you can still do all the design. You can be as creative as you want with design within that niche. And so many designers struggle forever finding what niche they want to be in.
Right.
And that's a great one. So,
but she's run into an awesome problem. Like, she can take the year off and figure it out. She's been working. She's had some success.
Yeah.
A lot of us can't do that. We got to continue to work the grind. And fortunately for us three, we love what we do. But I just think that I think that's the biggest positive of her question is that she's like, you know, I want to tap more into graphic design component of this industry mm-hmm. as a whole.
Yeah.
But she's been directing the show for a while. There's nothing holding her back from continuing with creative direction while she taps into this different part of of the design world altogether. So yeah, utilize that. Take advantage of that role, you know?
Oh, and it will be 100% obvious to anybody she talks or interviews with that she has that background.
Yeah.
It, you know it when someone doesn't have it. So
yeah, the she'll shine so much with that. Of course.
Mm-hmm. So build up your portfolio, Kim. Like, get some stuff that you design. Yeah. Get that website up because, you know, obviously that's important. Just have a lot of different styles in there and you're on your way. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So keep sending in those listener questions to questions@thedeependdesign.com. And of course, we love our audio questions and try to make them specific, please. We did get, there's a few that I'm probably just not going to be able to get to because if your question is just you want to get into design, where do you start? You know, we've covered it. So,
Sure. Yeah.
But anyway, yes, if you've got something nice and specific we can sink our teeth into and we feel like we can do a good job of answering it, we will certainly try. So do you guys want to throw out some plugs? We haven't done the where can we find you online in a while. Do you guys want to throw out a plug?
That's right.
Yeah.
Gosh, where am I right now?
Everybody knows. That's old news.
All right.
Yeah, you know where to find us. Nothing new has popped up.
Use the old Google. You'll figure it out. With that in mind, keep designing and catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Designcast.